This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com, BlackStarLabs.com, and by StrengthCoach.com. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 118, the very first episode of the new year, 2009. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and first off with us is Jonathan Fass, who is not on his cell phone, so he can actually talk to us this week. What's up, John?
What's up, Kev?
How was Delaware?
Delaware was righteous. Big shout out to Delaware. It was really cool. Not paying sales tax on anything is like the coolest invention of all time.
Yeah, it sounds like the more southern version of New Hampshire.
Yeah, apparently so.
Also with us, and just to let everyone know, if you don't know already, Jonathan is from jonathanfast.blogspot.com and acceleratedstrength.com.
That I am.
How's that for plugging? Did you blog at all?
That was awesome. I did last week.
Yeah, I don't know. That.
Yeah, I did. No, I did before the New Year's or something. I did, or maybe that was before like Christmas or something.
It was before Christmas, yeah.
A couple weeks ago.
That's okay. Also with us is Jen Heath from jenheath.com and her many articles on figureathlete.com. What's up, Jen?
What's up, Kevin?
How you doing?
Doing fantastic. And I guess I need to get going on another article, huh? I do have the most.
I wasn't calling you out.
Do I win a prize? Because I have written the most articles of any author on figure athlete.
I think they should give you some free flame out or something.
They do that.
Okay. Well,
at least some frequent flyer miles or something.
Yeah.
Like the credit cards.
Some Visa points.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, actually, you know what? Let's start off by quickly mentioning, let's give Jen a little bit of a plug, but you did have an article series up on figure athlete in the last week or two.
What was that, Kev?
Do you mind talking a little bit about your article series that you had on Figure Athlete for the last week or two?
Body fat set point. It's kind of hard to talk about it without just saying go read the articles. But it talks about basically what happens to you when you get ultra ultra lean as opposed to where your body wants to be. Body fat wise for optimized metabolism and how you can manipulate that set point either down or up. And there's a ton of factors in there. Lots of stuff. And you got to start at the beginning. Don't start in the middle or it won't make sense. Lots of science in there. So read them.
Just a bunch of knowledge bombs that you're dropping.
Tons of knowledge bombs. And I don't know what it is, but I always get comments and emails and stuff when I write articles like those. I mean, some of my articles are not so sciencey. They're just, you know, programs or ideas or whatever. But whenever I write these ones that take some complex topics and try to simplify them down, I get a lot of those kind of replies like people enjoy reading them because it takes something that they were trying to understand, you know, with this one tidbit of knowledge or that one tidbit of knowledge. They didn't really realize all the stuff they needed to know. And if they did, it would have been too complex to begin with. And then I put it all in this nutshell. And that's kind of my goal. And it seems to be working. So if you want to get some, like, outlandish knowledge about body fat set point, you know, you can go read them.
Well, so people should definitely check that out. Again, it's figureathlete.com. And it's, I think it's still up on the front page there. At least one of the parts is still on the front page. So
Part three. You got to go into authors and click on me, and then the latest two before that are in there, part one and two.
Are you guaranteeing that it will be as good as other trilogies like Back to the Future and Star Wars?
Yeah.
Because you set quite a precedent with that by making it three parts.
Yes. You're gonna have the advantage over everything. Read them.
Alrighty. The first thing we're going to talk about is that I have 3 spots left for the online personal training. For people who are still interested in that, just email me, kevin@thefitcast.com, and I'm doing quite a huge reduced special discounted price because the first couple people I would love to do some testimonial stuff for. So please email me about that. Second, if you haven't heard already, you're going to hear in a little bit a commercial for strengthcoach.com. Just want to welcome them to the sponsorship community of the fitcast.com. Mike's got a great thing going on over there. John, I know you're a frequenter.
Yes, frequenter.
To the strengthcoach.com forums. And also their podcast is very great that Anthony Reyna puts on with Mike there. So definitely check out that. Next thing I want to quickly mention, on Twitter, I had a call out, an emergency. I needed to know how was I going to do rack pulls without a power rack, because not all gyms have power racks, believe it or not. That's something that I could not believe, but it's apparently true. And I just want to say that people on Twitter gave me a great idea of using, you know, the steps for step classes that have the little square blocks that you could put under the steps, the platforms, and just used one of those on each side, and they were able to take on the brunt force of 370 pounds without issue. So I'm guessing, and I think when you think about it, like, they have pretty heavy people that may be using it in those classes. So when you think about it, if you break it up, it should be able to hold at least 200, 250 pounds on each side.
Yeah. Totally. That's what we do in the athletes' gym, because we only have like the Olympic platforms. We don't have like racks, so we just use. We actually, one of the guys made blocks, just wooden blocks, and they're awesome. Work perfectly.
Do you know how high they were?
They actually, he has 2 levels, and one of them's like really low, and then you can add the second block to, and then it's probably like above knee. So I think one's probably like. I think the first one is probably going to end up being below knee, and the second one is a little bit above knee.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I probably won't be able to shoot a video of that, but people can more or less figure it out. It's not that hard to set up. Lee Peel has started what has turned out to be an internet war. It's World War 18 on the internet between me and Lee Peel. Why number 18? I don't know, but we're starting to make photoshops of each other on other people's bodies, and it's getting pretty nasty. So that's why, just effective immediately, Lee Peel has been kicked off the show. She's been fired from her post, and you will not hear from her on the fake cast anymore.
Power has gone to your head.
Well, she's not on this week, is she? So for all the people that want more Lee Peel goodness, the only way you can do that is by sending me pictures of Lee's face photoshopped onto people like Jillian Michaels or Tracy Anderson or
anyone else who, you know, she would like turn in her grave over seeing herself pasted onto.
Any quote type our type A personality air punchers, any of those folks, I guess.
But if the
speaking
listeners,
speaking of air punchers,
I'm sorry, John. I was gonna
you go, John.
I just had a thought, and they come so rarely. But if they send the pictures to her, does that mean that you're off the show, Kev?
No, because I record the show.
Oh, okay.
So it's not. I mean, if she could hack onto my server and post shows, and then sure. But yeah. At this point,
I don't doubt anything that Lee Peel, I'm pretty sure, can do everything.
Yeah, I think she's. To be honest, we didn't kick her off the show. She's actually, you know, saving the environment or something like that.
Yeah,
there's a puppy that's drowning in the ocean, and she's going to save it or something like that. I don't know. That makes no sense. But the deal is...
Fail.
Oh, my God.
That will be my fail of the week, and hopefully... I know it's so early, but hopefully nothing else will happen for the rest of the show. But anyways, Lee Peel.
Why would a puppy be in the ocean?
Well, some evil dude just like took a puppy on a boat and just threw it in the middle of the ocean because it's like Lex Luthor.
And what state does Lee live in?
I don't know. Not Idaho.
Dude, I think she's landlocked.
No, she's in West Virginia. She's on the ocean. That's where she is right now. She couldn't come to the show. But seriously, if this keeps up, then she will be off the show. So what people need to do is send in pictures to questions@theficcast.com, kevin@theficcast.com. Either way, send in Photoshops of Lee Peel, and the person who sends in the best Photoshop will get a free copy of the FitCast Insider. That's an $80 value, folks, and it might only take a couple minutes of your time. And once we have all these put together, I'm going to post all the pictures on the show, on the website, I mean, and maybe I'll have you guys vote for the best one, or maybe I'll just pick my personal favorite. So far, there's been some great Photoshops onto Gillian Anderson. And to be honest, the ones that have been getting floated around in the email have mostly just been about me posted on, like, Fabio's body.
Yeah.
Which, you know, believe it or not, might not be a Photoshop. That could just be an actual picture.
Might not be.
My favorite was Richard Simmons.
Okay, that was just not great. Yeah. And it was the picture. I think it was the Hooters picture too that you got that face from.
That was awesome.
Good thing we don't. I think I made Tony take those down. I'm not sure, but
although Tony on the Chippendales body on Facebook was pretty good too.
Awesome, yeah, maybe I'll post that one too.
That was awesome. Not exactly what he was going for. I think when we started him on his new diet plan.
You know what was funny too is when he posted that picture holding the shirt and he made that face, I was like, this isn't gonna end up good.
with the sweep the leg.
sweep the leg, Johnny.
Well, it's even better. Have you seen the one from when he was in like junior high school?
Dude. Mm-hmm. Well, 96.
That picture.
How many years ago was that?
What is he? 32.
He's 32.
He's 32.
So that would have been 12 years ago. So that's when he was.
20 high, college?
Maybe it was. No,
it's before that because, yeah, it had to be college.
Yeah, maybe it
was. And
I was
college. Looking at that going, college? This was his college?
Yeah.
He was throwing gas, though, supposedly. I'm just burning bridges today, folks. The next thing I want to quickly talk about is the Guest of the Year Award. And I don't know what we're going to call this award. I think it's the
Guest of the Year Award.
That's what we'll call it. Holy crap. It came down to the wire, and Tom Venuto won by 4 points.
Wow.
Four votes, I should say. Tom Venuto clocked in with 58 votes and 34%. John Berardi came in at 54 votes and 32%, and Chris Bell was right behind them with 26 votes. And 15%. Chris Bell did a great interview.
That was a great interview.
Tom Venuto, kind of not fair because he did do two shows, but I'll allow it. And Tom did a great job. And he actually used his Twitter army to pump up his numbers, which, you know, that's fine.
Wow.
That's all right.
Look, man, you got to rally the vote. Get the vote out.
Yeah, it's rock the vote.
Rock the vote.
Rock the vote. FitCast 2008. I just noticed we haven't talked about fitness yet, but this next piece is fitness related. Mike Boyle's seminar coming up on the 14th. Everyone who's talking right now will be there. So you guys should also be there as well. Just go to strengthcoach.com. This really isn't part of the sponsorship. This is just because I want to get as many listeners there as possible because it's always great to meet the FitCast community and the people that really make this show possible. So if you haven't already, again, it's $99. It's 6 great presentations, and you know, maybe we'll all go out to eat or something like that. I don't know. We'll see what happens. And I don't have any T-shirts, but maybe I'll bring a sweatshirt for people. And
you better be bringing me a sweatshirt. I don't know how long have I been doing the show, like a year and a half, and you still haven't sent me a sweatshirt.
It might be XL though. And it's
one
of the old. It might be XL, and it has the old logo on it. That's why we don't have any T-shirts.
Okay, I'll sleep in it. It's all good. It's all wintertime.
Right. Fair enough.
Okay.
And that reminds me, if anyone out there has the ability to get super discounts on getting shirts printed up with our logo, please contact me. That would be awesome because we don't, as you notice, we don't have a huge budget for the show. But I would like to have some t-shirts made, just not really to sell, but just to give away to people. Last but not least, Tony. We talked about Tony, or we talked about Lee while she is not here because she's been fired from the FitCast. And please go to avidityfitness.com right now and check out all the great stuff on avidityfitness.com. .com. It's .org. Sorry. avidityfitness.org. And check out some of the fantastic stuff that she has going on there. But why am I doing this to Lee? Lee did nothing wrong. I'm taking that back. Go to avidityfitness.co.uk. And she has great stuff going on there. She's great stuff going on there. And last but not least, Tony, he was actually busy this week. It was his... He's actually at a Pokemon trading card convention, and he's playing Pokemon cards. And it's, you know, it's one of the big things he does every year. And his Pikachu just is so powerful over the Squirtle. And parents and younger audience members will know what I'm talking about. So that's it. That's it for the FitCast news. We're going to be right back. We got a huge mailbag, so please stick around after the break. It's a whole new year, and it means it's time to take off that unwanted holiday weight. So check out the special interview that I do with Craig Ballantyne, where he talks about the huge turbulence training promotion that he's doing starting at Monday, noon Eastern Standard Time. Check it out at thefitcast.com. Welcome to this week's mailbag. The first question we have comes from Brad in Utah. He says, hey guys, still loving the show. I'm always laughing out loud, but still getting tons of knowledge. My question is to help me better help a friend of mine in the gym. He's a very slim guy with long limbs. My worry is that I'm afraid to show him how to squat and deadlift. He's got a longer body, and I'm pretty much the opposite. I'm short and stocky, so I don't have a lot of problems squatting well and deadlifting. He's going for core strength and just get all around stronger. I'm really excited to get him into the gym. Keep in mind, I'm not a trainer of any sorts. I just love to train and work out. Any advice would help a lot. Brad from Utah. P.S. Kevin, better watch out. I'm a huge Harry Potter fan and also love Lord of the Rings. A lot of diehard fans out there, so best be careful. And all I have to say to that is you and Tony can get together and put a spell on me or something with your magic voodoo crap. I don't care. Wow. Go to Gandalf and something. I don't know. I don't know what Gandalf did. Gandalf was the long-haired white guy.
You know damn well what Gandalf did, you liar.
All he has is like a staff and he throws it into the ground. Wow, that's awesome.
Stop pretending that you haven't watched Lord of the Rings and remember something from it.
I saw the first two. I didn't see the third one.
Gandalf for president. And anyway,
No, John, it's Jen Heath for president, just for the record. But okay.
That was official, actually.
Gandalf for president. Google that. That's some history.
Hey, buddy, dude. It's Jen Heath for president.
Yeah, that's official on the FitCast, John. You can't mess with that.
That was from the 19th.
That's a FitCast thing, you know?
Yeah. John, what do you think?
In general, I mean, it is tough to train someone when you don't have the experience of it, but you're still probably doing a better thing by, you know, trying to help your buddy as opposed to just cutting them loose. But if there is someone around that might be a little bit more qualified, then that might be something to consider, even just to take one session from a trainer that you respect or something that kind of knows what they're doing to show you what to look for and to at least get you started. In general, when you're deadlifting, the end result is that everyone should kind of look the same. So whether they've got long arms, long legs, short legs, you kind of want them to roughly be in the same position. But things can be a little bit different. You know, someone's hips might be a little bit higher or a little bit lower depending on the length of their limbs or their arms. Usually when they've got longer arms, they're going to be a little bit more upright and get a little bit more quad out of it than posterior chain. But in general, you want the position of the bar to the shins to be the same, and then the body works around that. So take a look at what you look like, you know, assuming that you're deadlifting properly also, and then try to get your friend in roughly a similar position. And that's the best advice I could give you without actually being able to see the person that you're talking about and see how they're moving exactly.
Well, especially if he's a newcomer and you say that he's trying to work on core strength, what, you know, really what's the situation there first, because if people, you know, have a weak core, they're going to have trouble deadlifting. You know,
oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Period. And that goes the same thing with squatting. But the this is my obligatory watch the Dan John squat video. It's free. It's on Google Video. He's got a lot of great tips on how to get people deadlifting and squatting correctly. So that's definitely worth a look. Jen, how about you? Do you have anything to tell Brad?
Oh, no. Nothing to add to that. All perfect information.
Very good. John, we're going to throw back-to-back questions at you, because this is a question that comes straight from China.
Yep. Awesome. you want me to read it?
You know what? I'll read it for you, just nice. Since you're going to be answering it. Let's see. This is from Kazim. I hope I say that correctly. From England, but currently in Yantai, China, and I hope I pronounced that correctly as well. And, you know, he's probably feeling the same pain I am from the off-topic discussion about Doctor Who, so make sure you listen to that.
Wow.
Yes, I was looking back through previous episodes and came across a question about a lifter's plans to study Kung Fu in China. It just so happens that I'm doing the same thing. My question is about stance training, which basically involves holding a stance for as long as you can, and is found in many styles of traditional martial arts. Common stances used are the horse stance and empty stance. If you're not familiar with these, do a Google image search. It would be helpful. Do you guys have any opinions on the usefulness of such training, like its usefulness, how it might compare to more common forms of resistance training, etc.? Thank you very much. And again, that's straight out of China.
I studied Chinese martial arts for like 4 or 5 years, mostly through college. So it was Northern Shaolin, Southern Shaolin, Bagua Zhang, Kung Fu, and some Tai Chi, actually. And then I also did some Russian martial arts, and then I tore up my knee, and that was the end of that. So have a little bit of experience in that stuff. Studying in China is the coolest thing ever. That is awesome. And I actually have absolute plans to do that. My girlfriend's Taiwanese, so we're going to be going over there at some point soon, hopefully. So that's just awesome, and congratulations for that, because that's like every martial artist's dream, so that's really cool. As far as stance training, now, I mean, you kind of look at the thousands of years that people have been training in martial arts, and the fact that no matter what martial art you look at, they all have some type of, you know, mabu, some type of, you know, whatever type of stance training that there is. And you have to put those pieces together. It's just like the Big Rocks commentary that we had the couple episodes ago. There's something that's pretty special about this stuff. Not only does it build your strength in position, but it also is just incredible just for your general ability to deal with pain, pain and suffering, and to go past a point of discomfort, which has everything to do with not only martial arts, but with exercise too. For someone that's actively training, I would probably recommend a mixture of both. You're going to practice your stance training and your traditional positions, you know, when you're in class, when you're away from class, when you're training on your own. And then you add in a little bit of the dynamic stuff, some of the squats and lunges, because obviously martial arts is not just a stationary thing. It's dynamic. So you'd kind of need both of them. But if we look at also just the needs, general needs of everyday living, the majority of what we need is not really dynamic strength. It's really more static strength. We need to be able to hold our positions. We talk all the time on the FitCast about bad posture and postural weakness and your shoulder blades, your hips, and all this stuff that we don't have the strength to even support a good upright position. And stance training and the type of have an incredible impact on being able to have a good posture and keep you out of injury. So I would always recommend stuff like that. It's hard. It's really hard. But I remember my first level, I had to hold a 3-minute horse stance parallel, and my second level was a 5-minute horse stance, and that was after half an hour of stance work for the test. That was agony. But if you're doing it already, keep it up. It's fantastic.
And for anyone out there that wanted to know what episode he was referencing, it was episode 88, titled March Madness, where we had James, what?
No, no, it
was from March 23rd.
Because I had no idea.
But the person who asked the previous question was James, also from the UK, and he was just asking about Kung Fu training, and another guy to always talk to, you know, read their stuff or check out what they're saying is Alan Cosgrove, who's done a lot of writing about MMA and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So definitely make sure to, I think he does have some articles in regards to that on the internet. So just do a quick Google search and hopefully you'll find some stuff that pops up.
Yeah. I got an elbow to the forehead in the back of a taxi from Alan, in one of the conferences we were at. That was fun.
Did it like imprint knowledge into your head?
It did. I was suddenly smarter. It was amazing. That was cool. Like the elbow of knowledge.
The elbow of knowledge, and we have this week's title for the show. Thank you, Jonah.
You're welcome. Yeah, I think we were actually on our way to watch the UFC that night, or yeah, something like that. So there you go.
We have the next question, and it's more or less, I think we're going to throw this one at Jen. So, John, if you don't mind reading that one.
I will shut up.
What?
I'll shut up.
Okay, do you want me to read it or do you want to read it?
Oh, you want me to do it?
That's what I just said.
Oh, I thought you said we're going to throw it to Jen, and I was like, oh, well, then I'll shut up.
Well, then I asked you if you could read it. So this is stuff that people don't need to hear on the show.
Oh, gotcha. Kevin, this one comes from Kevin Fay. Hey, guys, it's great to hear Jen Heath back on the FitCast. I have a nutrition question for the panel. When choosing a meal replacement bar, balance bar, cliff bar, etc., what are some general guidelines to look for in regards to protein, carbs, sugar, and fat content? I primarily eat them in the late afternoon between lunch and dinner. Thanks for the advice. And again, that was from Kevin.
Jen, what do you think?
I think in general, those bars are okay. I mean, obviously, I'm going to advocate eating whole foods and stuff like that. But, I mean, I, too, eat the bars from time to time, you know, when I'm on the go with my kids. And, I mean, obviously, it's going to be a convenient source of protein. As far as protein content, the lowest I myself mentally can handle eating is like 15 grams, and that's typically what's in a balance bar. The Cliff bar should be somewhere around there. Some of the other ones are a little higher. They will have like up to 20, 25, and it depends on how many calories you're trying to get in. But as far as sugar, sugar's not the best thing to eat. So, you know, watch it. Sugar alcohol is not so bad. I have some clients who like the Atkins ones. There's some sugar alcohol in there, and they eat them a couple times a week, which is acceptable to me. I wouldn't suggest eating one a day or two a day, for sure not. I know some people do that. I wouldn't recommend that at all. As far as fat content goes, if it's high in carbs and it's high in fat, which some are, don't. Most of them are on a seesaw, which is fine. And I'm going to say eat a bar that has higher carbs in the afternoon or the late evening or dinner or whatever if you've trained. If you haven't, you know, keep it in the morning. And I'd say a higher fat bar you could have pretty much any time except for training. You know, and I hate to quantify things like that, because having some fat around training isn't going to do anything horrible for you if your calories are in check. But for general body composition, you know, high carb, low fat around training, and, you know, we're singing the same old song, but I mean, higher fat, low carb around times that you're not training. So there you go.
One thing that I might throw to Kevin is, you know, making sure, is this a convenience thing or is this just a laziness thing in terms of getting calories in?
Right.
Because that's you shouldn't just be, you know, sitting at your desk at the office and having a protein bar because you didn't feel like making like a great pumpkin cottage cheese and vanilla protein mash before going to work. Cause that works out well. And also, I mean, the other thing I would definitely consider is homemade protein bars. And I know, Jen, you're a big fan of those as well.
Oh, yeah.
And John Williams, again, I'm going to pimp some old video FitCast up, but John Williams did a great video when I was out in Denver with him on how to make vanilla meringue protein bars that are just absolutely, unbelievably, incredibly, awesomely good. So, there's that.
Another thing I'll say in there, and this is for me, I'm just going to give my own personal experience. When you're, I don't know whether, Kevin, whether you're, you know, dieting or whether you're bulking up or whatever you're doing, but typically for me, like a Clif Bar, like they have this one flavor that's like peppermint chocolate or something. It's so delicious. And when I'm dieting, when I'm trying to watch what I'm eating, sometimes that post-workout is like the only thing that will make me feel like I'm quote-unquote cheating, and it keeps me in check. And so for relief every once in a while to have something that tastes kind of like a candy bar but really fits with your nutritional guidelines for the day, from a psychological standpoint, those can be really, really good. But, you know, to answer your question, what on the macros and stuff like that, just watch that they stay on a seesaw and eat them at the right times of the day, and I think you'll be good to go.
Very good. And just to one last thing that's worth mentioning is also BioTest does actually make their metabolic drive bars are pretty good.
They are good. So especially those, the cookie dough. The cookie dough is good.
I'm a more of a chocolate chunk guy, to be honest. and those are actually, I tend to have one of those like once a week when I'm on the run after training. Or I forget to bring like my proper post-workout nutrition to work. But we're going to take a quick break here, folks, and we'll be right back with some more user-submitted mail, and that includes a great email about stevia from Todd, because John doesn't like stevia and I do. We'll be right back.
Michael Boyles, strengthcoach.com, the number one source of performance enhancement information on the internet. Are you looking for cutting-edge information updated almost every day? Do you like info-packed forums with almost real-time answers from industry experts? Then log on to www.strengthcoach.com. For only $1 for 14 days, you can test drive the number one source of performance enhancement information on the internet.
Two of our mailbag discussion, and I'm very happy to say Tony was actually free to call us up. So, Tony, what's up?
This is Tony Genicor.
How's it going?
I'm great. I'm going off like 25 minutes of preparation time here.
That's great. It's great to hear from you again, Tony. That does not at all sound like it's from a previous episode. it's just you know, I would never do anything like that, Tony. Come on, man. Well, I mean, it was great to have you on for a couple of seconds, but what we're going to do is John, Jen, and I, we're going to get back to the mailbag stuff. I know you're really busy, but just thanks for calling in. And, oh, you want to say one more thing?
This is Tony Genicor.
How's it going?
I'm great. I'm going off like 25 minutes of preparation time here. This is awesome.
Tony, you already said that. I know. You already said hi. Come on, man. You don't have to. We heard you the first time, but we'll let you go. And again, people, they can check out your blog. It's the Boston Herald Step Up blog and GenicorTrading.com. So good to hear from you, Tony. Take care.
That's great.
Okay, well, it's always good to hear from Tony, guys. It's good to hear that he's doing well, and he had a couple seconds to call us in and say hi, you know. It's the little things like that solidify friendship, you know. Just going out of his way on a very busy day that he had.
And yeah, at least his phone works.
No, yeah, his phone, it seems to be working perfectly,
yeah,
to be honest. And if people want to check out the actual episode that Tony first came on, I think it's also really good to go back. And it's not always about the present. It's about the past. This information is still very up-to-date and current. If you want to do that, I think it was episode number 21. So episode 21 for you folks. So the next.
Sounded happy.
No, he sounded very happy. He sounded very happy, and I think he's enjoying his day. The Pokemon convention must be packed, so I'm surprised that it just wasn't very loud in the background. And hopefully, he won his first two battles, and when he makes it to the semifinals.
Oh my God. So,
and that's why we like to keep fitness and nutrition fun and interesting here. So the next question comes from Todd. It says, Kevin, saw this today that the FDA approved stevia. Thought you might be interested. And yes, I am very interested. On Scientific American, they posted a quick story just that the FDA
late last night, this was on December 18th, approved stevia. And there is already immediately there's some backlash from the Center of Science in the Public Interest, or the CSPI, and they have totally denounced the FDA's decision, and they're saying that it is far too soon to allow the substance in diet sodas and juice drinks that will be consumed by millions. But I think this is very cool, because already companies including Coca-Cola and PepsiCo are saying that they are prepping products that include stevia for the market. Like, they're coming very soon. Some even say by mid-January, they're quoted in the article saying by mid-January we should have a full national distribution of zero calorie Sobe water, Life water with stevia in it, and it's made by Pepsi. So, this, I think, is awesome. I think there is... John, what's your beef with stevia? What's up?
I mean, I think I just get very wary when we're trying to fool Mother Nature, I guess. I mean, I know that there's been a lot of discussion about, you know, cancer and mutations and things like that from stevia, and specifically, I mean, whatever that... Rabidocide A or whatever it's called... I'm not a chemist. I'm not a physiologist, so I can't tell you the details of it. I only know what I read about that stuff, and in that sense, I'm just, you know, pretty much like anyone else that would be reading about stevia. But so I can't, you know, come from like a, well, this study showed this and that. But I just don't trust it. There's something in it raises an eyebrow to me. Then when I see something like this and they're coming out, this is the new superfood, this is the new miracle sweetener, no calories. In fact, you'll grow 3 inches taller and it weirds me out a little bit. And I don't like that idea. I think I'd rather just have the sugar.
But it's from a root that was found deep in the jungles of South America.
Poo is natural too.
Okay, you just went against your own point. But Jen, what's your thoughts on stevia?
But that's what I mean. Like, it doesn't matter. I mean, like, if it's from a root or not or whatever. I mean, I'm just saying that it's like...
Oh, I gotcha.
It's, you know, just because it's found naturally doesn't mean that we naturally eat it. So it's great that it's from a root or whatever. But, you know, there's so many things like that where it's natural but it's processed or whatever it is. And since this isn't really something that's normally consumed in the diet, even though it's natural, there's plenty of things that we're just not really capable of digesting or we're supposed to eat in general. And I think in general it's for me, it's like, you know, why are we so afraid of just – if you want to have a soda, just have a soda. And I mean, there's so many bad things in soda. Are you really concerned about the sugar? Is that what it's about? You know, so I don't know. I mean, I think I'd rather just have a normal soda if that's what I'm going to do, and just go exercise or something like that. I just don't like the idea of, you know, lose weight without doing anything type of gimmicks, because they just – it doesn't work.
Gotcha. Jim, what's your thoughts?
You know, I like some of the stuff that John just said. I mean, I think that if you want to have a soda – and I mean, I know a lot of people hate diet soda. They like the way it tastes, real soda, you know. So, I mean, you can earn it. If you can be smart about it, but you know, in moderation. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of aspartame or stevia or anything like John was saying in enormous amounts. I mean, if you're going to be pumping your food full of Splenda and drinking Diet Pop 2 of them a day and putting stevia in all of your tea all the time, I mean, I'm going to have to agree with John that might not be. That might not be the best, because it is taking a bunch of stuff regardless of where it's found and pumping it into your diet when you normally wouldn't get that from a food source. However, for people who just dependent on how hardcore you're going for body recomp, I mean, if you're trying to get really lean, particularly if you're already lean and then you're trying to get leaner, it's nice to have a way to spice up your food, you know, just a little bit of sweetener here, a little bit of sweetener there. I like really sweet stuff, and stevia is nice because you only need a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of it to make your food taste, you know, a little sweeter. But I would definitely say I only use it once or twice a week in a tiny amount. And I mean, I'm more guilty of abusing Splenda than anything, but I think it's okay in moderation. I mean, I'd rather have it than aspartame. But then again, I'm no scientist, and I don't know what the long-term effects of, like, heavy stevia use is, you know? So, anyway, there you go.
I think we can all agree that anything in super excess is going to be a bad thing. Like, to be honest, personally, I haven't used Splenda since I made an attempt of making some of Jen's sugar nuts.
Oh, man, the
sugar nuts.
Which
I think we've talked about.
Mm.
I talked to John about the sugar nuts.
Well, Tony and Kevin have a little love affair with my sugar nuts. So they are very, very good.
They're good.
That's an understatement. They're the bomb.
They're the shiznit.
for
all those people that are in the loop or something. But the thing is, like, whenever I have one thing that has Splenda in it, and it's like once every 3 days, I have one of this. It's a diet soda that they sell at Trader Joe's that has, it's more or less clean except for the Splenda. And I use stevia maybe once a day. I use one of the packets from Now Foods. They use their Stevia Balance, which it's like wicked. It's like $5 for a huge box of it, and it's just really more or less watered down stevia in the sense that they also they include something else in it. Chromium they also include in it. So that's something that's worth taking a look at. I'm on Jen's side. I like something that adds a little bit of sweetness. I'd rather do that than, you know, have, because I'm really, you know, not going to want to throw 40 grams of sugar or high fructose corn syrup. Like I think there's just no debate that high fructose corn syrup is the devil compared to stevia.
We don't know that, though. That's the problem. I mean, I think, and if we talk about the potential outcomes, like high fructose corn syrup, and look, I'm you know, by no means advocating high fructose corn syrup, but, you know, if stevia, there's been potential links to cancer, then I think that you're right. There is no debate, but I would rather have high fructose corn syrup any day compared to something that could potentially cause me cancer. I don't know if that's the case, though. No one does, and I think that's the point. I mean, what if we kind of understand a lot better what high fructose corn syrup does, what trans fats do, for instance, and, you know, you were talking about, well, a little bit isn't going to be harmful, but we don't really know what a little bit actually means. That's the problem. We don't know what constitutes a little bit. What's a safe amount? If we look again at, like, you know, trans fats or even high fructose corn syrup to a lesser extent, we would probably all argue basically don't have any. Don't have any in your diet. Don't have any trans fats in your diet on a daily basis. So we've decided that the minimum safe amount is zero for trans fats. So why isn't it zero for something else that we know even less about?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's
a good point.
Yeah.
Well, I think it'd be good to go into some of the stevia and the cancer links. Like, the, if you type in Google on your Mozilla and it starts auto completing it for stevia, cancer is like not in the top 10 list, but once you get, if you type in a C, and the first thing is stevia. Actually, it's not even after that. Stevia cancer is like the eighth on the list. So I don't know. Mm. That just means people aren't searching for it. But if you do look up stevia and cancer, there's about roughly 430,000 pages with information on that. So
yeah, and you know what too? I mean, and that's the thing also. I mean, like you said, like, I don't know. You don't know. I mean, it's not like we're stevia experts or even, you know, biochemists or anything like that. So this is really just opinion. But at the same time, I think the way that I look at it, at least, is I don't need to have this in my diet. So
Jen, are you still there?
Yeah, for some reason, yeah,
we lost John for a second, but I think that's because he's wrong. John, are you back? Now it's not even funny. Well, I think John lost his internet connection. So, Jen, John, you back?
I don't know. I've been here.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. Oh no, you're fine, Jen. I think we just lost John for a second.
Am I on or?
Yes.
Oh my God, I was so worried.
Are we back?
I can tell you were like sweating bullets over there, Jonathan.
Sweating bullets, but that's mostly from the caffeine.
Mostly.
That's mostly for my spike tab this morning. On a day off.
Tabs are for wusses.
You know what? It's because I retina. Listen, I know, because it doesn't give you that like zing that the shooters give you. I know. Trust me, I'm totally addicted to shooters. But I ran out for a few days, and the tabs do give you a nice steady stream of bubbly energy. So I'm not.
I'd have to take like 18 of those tabs to get me.
Oh, see, you're all fucked up.
Yeah, the Mike Robinson thinks I have a problem. I don't, to be honest, but that's fine. The next question comes from Anne, and you know what, John, I think you should read this one, and we'll throw it to Jen first.
Okie dokie. The next one, again from Anne, is, hey, I'm trying to build muscle. I hope to gain muscle before I diet down here again in a few months. I want to get to 20 to 22% body fat. Right now I'm at 25%, but I would like to build up muscles underneath before I burn fat off. Right now, I'm doing a series of 3 sets with free weights as follows: decline bench press, standing row back, military press, deadlift, full squat, hyperextended crunches over a ball, and a lower torso reverse type crunch. I think she just means a reverse crunch.
Mm-hmm.
Feel free to introduce me to the correct name of this exercise. So there you go. So to close, am I missing anything that I can think of, or anything overdone or not helpful? Recommendations for my diet and exercise requirements for this type of goal, greatly appreciated. Your team is awesome. Thank you and Merry Christmas. You all are a very valuable tool to me. Man.
That's the nicest way I've ever been called a tool in my life. So I appreciate that, Ann. But also, we totally forgot to mention Happy New Year's and Happy Holidays to everyone out there. Forgot to do that.
Okay, so a few things in here. Anne, I really wish you would have told me what your body weight was, but I'm just going to guess. I don't know. I don't know. I wish you would have told me that. Shoot. But just in general, okay, exercises that you're doing, good, 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 all good. I don't know about the hyperextended crunches over a ball. Not too big of a fan. I wouldn't program that in for any of my clients. But stuff I would recommend in place of that would be like hanging leg raises. Once you get strong enough, you could try to get it up to like a hanging pike. Decline. I'm always a big fan of decline crunches. So there's your crunch. Your exercises are all really good. I hope that you're periodizing all of that, because that's a lot of heavy compound stuff, deadlifts and squats and stuff. I mean, I assume you're not doing any of that stuff back to back. As far as putting muscle on, and you're doing 3 sets, I don't know how many repetitions you're doing, but I'd go, depending on your recovery, I don't know, if you're a HIIT person and you can do a lot of volume and a lot of energy systems work, then you can keep in a lot of the HIIT if you're doing that. You didn't mention whether you were or not. I'm just trying to analyze this here. I'd pick up the volume. Your bigger body parts, muscle groups such as your legs and your back and stuff like that, when you're doing those compound movements that focus on those muscle groups, you could pick up the volume pretty much on everything. Go for 4 sets, 5 sets. Make sure that you're, you know, getting in at least 8 to 10, 12 reps a set, and fry yourself up, and then go eat some carbs when you're done. You're not worried about losing fat at the moment. You said you want to put muscle on. So go ahead and take your body weight and multiply it by, you know, a good 13 to 15, 16, and follow, you know, for the sake of not going into detailed diet stuff right now, follow John Berardi's precision nutrition meal timing guidelines. And I think you'll see some really, really good gains as far as building muscle. You know, when you go to burn fat, it's all diet, pretty much. Keeping everything periodized nicely in the training, and then cutting back on some of the food. Lots of thoughts going through my head. So, John, add in, and we'll just go back and forth until this gal's question is completely answered.
Okay. yeah, I think, you know, in general, it's pretty good. I would probably, from the list that you put there, put the deadlifts and squats first. I mean, you really want the biggest exercises to come first because they're going to be the most demanding. In general, I always tend to have a reaction of if you're putting together your own workouts without any specific experience, why not take someone else that has done that for you? You know, something like New Rules of Lifting for Women, you know, and a shout out to Cassandra. Something like that would be probably be a better idea because that is the periodization is built in, the exercises are built in, and that you're never wrong by going with someone that's trained to write programs for you. From what you have here, hyperextended crunch, you don't really need to do that. I mean, crunches, we could argue if you really need to do that at all, but if
right.
But if you're going to do that, you really don't need to go into the hyperextended position, just a normal flat position would do. And the reverse crunch, again, the same thing. I mean, that's fine. I would probably look a little bit more to stabilization and oblique work versus rectus abdominis. That those are the more important stabilizing muscles when it comes to doing any type of isolated ab work. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with doing that, and that's fine to do. Other than that, you know, I think generally hit it. I mean, we don't know what type of reps you're doing, what type of, you know, three sets all the time. Maybe you can play with that a little bit and go a little bit higher, a little bit lower, and see how that's doing. You can mix up the reps as well. I mean, you can do a early set of, you know, 5 reps, 4 reps, and then go a little bit higher in 8 or 10 or 12 reps, things like that. Especially if you're looking to build up muscle, because your body will respond first and foremost to the stress that you place on it. So the idea of like, well, if I want to build hypertrophy, it's 8 to 12 reps. That's true to a point, but for a natural lifter over a period of time, we really need to expose the body to more intensity than that. So when in doubt, go a little bit heavier. And then otherwise, yeah, diet, diet, diet.
Very good.
Yeah, don't be afraid of calories when you're trying to, you know, put muscle on or whatever. And I liked what John said about doing some lower reps at the beginning and then adding some more high volume stuff at the end. I train like that often. I've written a few programs recently for some clients that, you know, like a day will consist of, you know, a lot of posterior chain training, like some very, very, very heavy deadlifts and then some other more high volume stuff for the posterior chain. So yeah, the whole new rules of lifting for women, that's a great idea. That's a great idea to find a book or a plan that's been written by somebody who has the know-how of that. You don't want to be throwing those exercises around like randomly throughout the week. That will do nothing for you. So right. Yeah, structure is good.
Yeah, normally, and just to throw that out also, I mean, deadlifts are awesome. Squats are awesome. Normally, and this is kind of getting to what Jen was saying too, I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing them both in the same workout. Normally, if that happens, I'll change the reps around a little bit. So maybe the deadlifts will be a very low rep and squats might be a higher rep. But normally what I tend to do personally in my programs is, depending on the individual, of course, but I might do deadlifts and then maybe it would be like a lunge or single leg variation or multi-planar variation versus just bilateral deadlifts, bilateral squats. So that's also something to consider. It's not right or wrong, but that can certainly be helpful and just maybe getting an overall training effect and having more stabilization requirements in single leg position, because throughout the day, you know, at least half of the time that you're moving is going to be in single leg stand, more than half. So so that's always something to consider too.
And carbs when you're done. Carbohydrates. Train hard and then eat some carbs.
Okay. And no stevia.
Fine. We're going to field one more question. We're kind of getting tight in the time. So we will – what do you guys think? It's a toss-up between talking about jaw surgery and a very detailed question again.
Oh, let's do the last one. Let's
all
do
right,
the liquid
Chris,
diet
Chris,
question.
You got a question last week anyways. Come on, man. Kind of back-to-back questions in a week. We'll save that for next week. All these guys from Minnesota thinking they can ask questions every week, although it is the home of MacGyver. That's true.
And therefore, it's the...
And Jack O'Neill and Stargate, too. Both Richard Dean Anderson's characters were from Minnesota. Very cool.
And therefore, apparently, it's the home of the mullet.
and the home of just badasses.
Because the MacGyver mullet is one of the best.
It's one of the best, but I mean, after the Stargate look was a little bit better. But the
your Hooters wig had a mullet.
Oh, wow. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. The
Sorry.
Last question. Dear Fickass, in April of 2009, I will be having jaw surgery, which will have me on a liquid diet for 6 weeks. Since I have not trained for 4 months and gained about 10 pounds of fat, how should I go about eating my way into training again? Should I just start in January and train until surgery? Or train 6 weeks after surgery when I'm off the mandatory liquid diet? Keep in mind, I'm assuming I'm going to lose a lot of muscle, at least 15 pounds of body weight. So my assumption is that training in January through April would be a waste of time, muscle, and money. So what do you guys think? I'm going to say...
Go ahead.
It's absolutely not a waste of money.
Mm-mm.
Get your butt in the gym today.
So much to say about this.
Well, think about it. If he's only going to be, if we're talking about 6 weeks that he's going to be out of the gym, you can still get a great training effect from 4 months in the gym. We're talking from February, and March. That's still going to give you, well, like 15, 16 weeks in the gym to make a ton of progress.
Well, I don't even know if he's going to be out of the gym for 6 weeks. It just says that he's going to be on a liquid diet for 6 weeks. Now, I have two clients who had jaw surgery. And they were only out of the gym for like 2.5 weeks, and they were already easing into cardio and some lightweight training. And by 3.5, 4 weeks in, they were like totally training. They were on their liquid diets, but they were still training. So I don't know if you're really going to be out of the gym for 6 weeks. So none of your time will be wasted training at all in between now and then and while you're on a liquid diet, and you don't have to lose any muscle, nothing. You're like totally golden. This is the thing. Liquid is liquid. You need a good blender, and you just need to put food in there and mix it and eat a totally normal diet. Like, your shakes can be – I'm so excited about this. Like, I had the best success with these two clients. I mean, we would have blending in walnuts and almonds and pistachios and oats, and, you know, we do the vegetable ones. One of the girls even – went and got a juicer, and she juiced a bunch of stuff and put fruits and vegetables in there. I mean, amazing liquid food, a totally regular normal diet. In fact, one of the girls put on muscle while managing her body comp post-surgery. I mean, you're not up against what you think you are. If you can plan ahead for this, you're so golden. So what do you think, John?
Bam.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Boom.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And if we kind of look at like pre-surgery guidelines, and, you know, coming from like an orthopedic argument, but pre-surgery guidelines, the strength of the individual and the health of the individual before the surgery has an enormous effect on how
exactly
good the rehab is afterwards. So we are always encouraging people, be active, be exercise, you know, develop your strength and whatever. You'll always have better outcomes after the fact. And also I get this question a lot, actually, people saying, you know, well, I used to, you know, I've been working out, but I've been off for a while, and how long will it take before I lose all my strength? And the fact is, you can't, there's no specific determinant. I mean, you can say, oh, it takes a few weeks and you'll see this amount decrease in muscle and strength, but
there's no calculation for it.
Yeah, exactly. It always depends on how long you've been exercising before you take time off. So the longer that I've been exercising, the longer I've been active, the longer it's going to take for me to lose those qualities as well. So you're always better off working out before you know you're going to have to take some time off if you're able to do that.
Train as hard as you can and eat as best as you can all the way up to your surgery. Take as little time off as you need. Stay on your little liquid diet and then get back in the gym and use the liquid diet and a blender to your advantage. I mean, just really quick day's meals. Breakfast, I mean, I know it sounds gross, but cooking egg whites and blending them. But think about it. Egg whites are used in like the topping to lemon meringue pie. They're not gross. Like, cook some egg whites, throw them in a blender with some like sugar-free raspberry Italian soda stuff and some nuts and some vanilla protein. Have that for a breakfast shake. I mean, you can do some chocolate stuff with some cottage cheese for a mid-morning. You could take, you know, get like a million flavors of protein powder and do a fruit one with you know, fruit protein and lots of frozen fruit in there. And, I mean, then you could just go to town. I mean, mid-afternoon, you could, like, for all I care, blend up 2 protein bars and put some protein shakes in there, you know, and blend it up. Eat, drink it down, you know, and then same with dinner and before you go to bed. I mean, cottage cheese, and you could put oats in there. The sky's the limit. You got a regular diet if you just use your blender. So, there you go.
I drink it up!
Drink up!
I drink your milkshake! I hope Tony listened this far, because that way he will love that reference.
And if you need a cheat meal, blend, make yourself a milkshake. Ice cream.
Make sure it brings all the boys to the yard.
You're going to be training.
God, that was just like a paragraph of fail.
Wow.
Sorry. Unbelievable. Okay, there's something I did want to quickly mention that, I mean, everyone forgot, is that Black Star Labs, great stuff there, great protein powders. Suggest the Ultra Peptide 2.0. So use that code FIT in there, guys. Well, I think that's going to be it. We're going to have a round table. But we're
Pink Dumbbell Award.
Wait, hold on. We got to play the music. All right. All right. Who's getting the Pink Dumbbell Award this week, John?
I had to split it. I had to split it between the Kung Fu question and the jaw surgery questions, because those are so unique, those questions. I thought they were awesome. So,
and that was from Pedro. The jaw being sewn shut question was from Pedro.
Okay. So, Pedro, you get to share it with Kazim, and don't complain, because I'm pretty sure Kazim would kick your butt. So, based on the questions.
I think someone in the audience should keep a running tally of who's getting these Pink Dumbbell Awards and keep a list online and maybe start like a Blogspot blog, you know, something like that. They should.
Pink Dumbbell Award winners on the FitCast forums.
.blogspot.com. Or yes, yep. Or we could do about forums.thefitcast.com, where it is quite hectic in there right now. It's quite busy. It was quiet over the Christmas and New Year's holiday, but it's starting to really pick up again. So people make sure to check out forums.thefitcast.com and lots of stuff, especially, you know, people give me crap for being in the off topic discussion, but you know what? There's still some good stuff in there. And I just want to quickly mention that.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. Statistics, total posts, 1,000. We are at 1,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool. And for anyone that's on PSN, there's a thread about that. Higashi TSM wrote that. So I will post my PSN username. It's Kevin Larrabee with no spaces, believe it or not. It was inventive. not like Smokes Mad Blunts 48 or something
Smokes
like that.
Smokes Mad Blunts.
That's basically everyone on Xbox. But, all right, well, that's going to wrap it up.
Dude, why do you got to call me out like that, man? I like that username.
Because, John, it's just absolutely horrendously, ridiculously brilliant.
Smokes Mad Blunts.
That's
great.
With X's before and after. Because, like, sometimes people steal that name, so they put XX, then their name, then XX. God, people who... Okay, I apologize. Most 99% of our listeners don't care what I'm talking about, so we're going to wrap it up here.
You know what? The Pink Dumbbell Award goes to Smokes Mad Blunts.
Smokes Mad Blunts? Oh, wait.
Yeah.
John, this is someone calling. They don't give a shit. All right, we're going to wrap it up. So did that work better? Was that in the off-topic discussion? I can't remember. So that's it for us. Please go to thefitcast.com. Check us out. The video fitcast or the FitCast video database is coming together. It's almost done. I had quite a hectic week, as I was talking to the guys before on the show. So that is coming together. And again, that will be posted at thefitcast.com, and all the stuff will be up on YouTube, but you can watch it in high quality thanks to some special coding on thefitcast.com. Please check out the forums at forums.thefitcast.com. Check us out on iTunes if you haven't already. Please, 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 please put up a review, because we want to beat out the Pilates and yoga podcast and the, you know, naked yoga podcast, pretty much. That's the one I'm trying to beat. So please hit us up on iTunes, subscribe there, and post a review. That's it. And for episode 118, I'm Kevin Larrabee.
I'm Jonathan Fass.
And I'm Jen He.
Take care, everyone. Have a great start of 2009. And we'll see you next week, episode 19, The Return of Tony Gentilcore. Maybe I should play his voice in the background again. Yeah. Hopefully people are hearing it.
Tony Gentilcore.
This is Tony Gentilcore.
Oh, great. We're in the off-topic section this week. We are getting ready to record the show. It's been about 20 minutes that we've been talking on Skype. But we just decided to record something for the off-topic discussion for you, all you out there that seem to love it and want it and crave it and fast forward to it. This is the first thing you do when you listen to the show. I don't know why. John, you're back. Your phone doesn't suck this week.
No, my phone doesn't suck this week. So, yeah, but that sucked last week, so sorry for all the suckage.
Yeah, that's why John wasn't on the show.
Yeah. I was all set up for it. I was in the car, and I was like, oh, I'll just call in like Tony does. And then AT&T just ruined my fun.
Yeah, and where were you?
I was driving down to Delaware.
Delaware. Yeah, that's
big
awesome.
Big ups to Delaware.
Jen, what's up with you?
Getting ready to kick your butt in February on Guitar Hero.
Actually, I think we'll play the real man's version. That's called Rock Band.
Okay, that's fine. I'm totally game for that. Like, I pick everything up in 2 seconds. I'm going to whoop you. It's over. It's already over before it even starts.
All right, fine. Then after that, we'll play some Call of Duty or some Halo. Some Halo with... That's a shout out to Seth Gibson, who's listening.
I'm totally addicted to The Lost, thanks to Tony.
To Lost. What season are you
Lost.
On?
I'm in season two, halfway through season two.
Oh, you're
almost all the way done with season two.
Skip season three, it sucks.
Well, I just bought it all, you know, like 2 weeks ago, and I've already slammed through, you know, a season and a half. So I'm doing good there, and... yeah, that's all Tony's fault. He told me I would love it, and I do. I'm totally addicted to it.
Nice. Lost. It's a decent show.
Yeah, it's. Yeah. You know, last season was a little bit, weird, but it was pretty good. I'm really looking forward to the new season.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty epic.
Yeah.
Jen, you have to finish within like 2 weeks.
I know. I only have 2 weeks to finish all four seasons. It's going to be nuts. I'm going to have to like stop everything at 6 p.m. and just put Lost on and watch it for 6 hours a night.
Yeah, we're not kidding.
What the hell are you doing on
that.
The FitCast, woman? Go and watch.
I know. Bye, everyone. I got to go watch Lost now.
Got to go see what John Locke's up to.
That's
go
right,
see what he's hunting.
That fishy dude.
What was I going to say? Actually, in other TV news, this is a big deal for all of our UK listeners. I'm telling you guys, I am very depressed, along with probably some of you, that David Tennant is leaving Doctor Who. And
oh, really?
We've known this for a while. He announced this a couple months ago, but they just announced who the 11th Doctor is going to be. And it's this dude. Who is 26 years old. It's a 26-year-old doctor.
I just did a Google search.
Yeah, new doctor is...
No. I found out that I don't care.
Oh, wow. That's really great. You stole my joke.
I just fell for it.
That's funny. Well, you know what? For the people in the UK, I will post John's personal email address, and you can send him obligatory Photoshops and sign him up for all the pornographic email subscription sites that you would like. So we'll do that. John, should I give out the Gmail one? Or?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Well, we'll do that. But for those who do care, the guy's name is... Matt Smith, and he's super young, and I don't feel too good about it. David Tennant was the bomb. None of you guys watch Doctor Who?
Yeah, no.
No.
Wow. It's like soccer. People in America just don't get it.
I get soccer. I'm a soccer player.
Yeah, but I mean, in general, America does
I know,
watch.
I know, sorry.
They don't watch the football. But that's...
Oh, yeah, next week, dude, this 1 o'clock stuff, not going to happen.
Why is that?
Does the Giants play?
Right now? They're not playing now.
Not now, next week.
Next week. Well, yeah, I think they'll probably have an evening game, though.
They do, it's 4:30.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. All right, you guys have...
Did I just say that not the 1 o'clock? Yeah, I just mean not interrupting the Giants game.
Yeah. You should try to speak a little bit louder, Johnny.
Wait, you can't hear me?
That's a little bit better, yeah.
How's that?
That's good.
You know what? I moved the microphone so I could drink coffee.
That's probably it.
There you go.
Well, you guys have anything else you want to... seen any movies lately, or...
I too saw 7 Pounds. It was very slow and not worth. Like, don't go see it in the theater. Just wait for it to come out on video.
Will Smith needs to actually make good movies. He's made nothing but crap, like since Ali. To be honest,
you know what? Like, I liked it. I didn't absolutely love it. And you knew what was going to happen in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So
no spoilers.
After that, however, I bought Forbidden Kingdom used the other day. That movie literally kicks ass, and that will carry over into the FitCast today. So I thought I'd like to throw a shout out to the Forbidden Kingdom.
Is that the Jet Li and Jackie Chan joint?
You damn right it is.
I still haven't seen that. I should say I'm a big JC fan.
Yeah, dude, it was actually really awesome. And I had seen like. Generally good reviews, but not like the greatest reviews. And I think for a while I was avoiding it just because I didn't want my heart broken that their epic meeting wouldn't be a good movie, but it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, there's like a couple points where you're like kind of raising an eyebrow, but otherwise, I mean, if you know like Chinese cultural history and stuff, there's like a lot of stuff that has to do with that. And it's been described as a Kung Fu Wizard of Oz, and I couldn't agree more.
Jen, you saw Transporter 3, right?
Yeah, I did.
I saw that and I fell asleep during it.
Yeah, there were some cool explosions and some really unlikely cars driving on top of trains, and I thought the whole premise of the whole idea of having a bracelet that blows you up if you get too far away from your car was kind of a cool idea, but other than that, bleh,
yeah.
Didn't love it.
Jason Statham did take his shirt off though.
Oh. He did, and that one scene where he's in that room in his boxers that are white, and he looks tan, and he's ripped. Yeah, but the thing is Tony and I, see, we discussed this, and all those guys are all, like, only 5'8", or whatever, or 5'7". So, I mean, they make them look big, and they make them look amazing, but I'm sorry, if I'm going to be standing up next to a dude, and he's only an inch or two taller than me, So, you know, we have to take away a little bit of credit. Though they are hot.
Yes.
There you go.
They are.
And Tony saw like 5,000 movies in the last week and a half, so he's totally not doing us any favors by not being on the show today.
But yeah, no, we're going to make fun of Tony in the actual show to make sure the whole audience hears it, but this is just unacceptable. Unacceptable. But I think that... Oh, actually, I want to quickly mention... A great new CD that I've had for the gym, and as the place where I currently train at plays more or less Christina Aguilera and the Jonas Brothers, the MP3 player has been very important.
Okay, so your CD?
It's Anne Berlin, New Surrender is the title. I think the band is called Anne Berlin, but it was actually a video that I was watching with some highlights of a new PS3 game called Killzone 2 that was on YouTube, and this music was playing in the background, and it's very odd. Like, I could see how some people might find it annoying. It's very much My Mother Didn't Love Me music, but with a little bit of All American Rejects in it. If that makes any sense.
Nice.
Probably not. But I think it's worth checking out. Go to the iTunes or the Amazon Music Store and click that in. It's spelt A-N-B-E-R-L-I-N. Give them a listen. I think it's worth a look. I think that's it, unless you guys have anything else.
No. Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah, we're going to say that in the beginning of the show, but that's okay. Good one, though. All right, we will hope you guys enjoyed the show, and we're going to record that right now.